Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for faith builders. You'll find daily good news reflections on the Scriptures of Mass, written by Terry Modica, to help you in your everyday life and struggles. Visit GNM.org today. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Well, I have a real treat for you on today's podcast. So happy to welcome you back to this week's episode of Lisa Hendy and Friends from Breadbox Media. And our guest this week is none other than the totally awesome Jeff Cavins. Jeff is a leading figure in Catholic media. You've heard his name all over the place for quite a long time, but we're here today to talk about his Great Adventure Bible Learning System, not just the Bible study or the super awesome Bible itself, but also a very special series of events that's going to be coming up this fall all across the United States. Jeff has his master's in theology from Franciscan University of Steubenville, and too many credits to list here other than just to say that this man is incredible and really knows his Bible. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Hey, it's good to be with you again. Always a joy to join you.
Oh, it's a treat. And you have so much new stuff going on. But before we dive into Bible Timeline, just in case there's somebody who's never kind of encountered your work or your kind of apostolate before, I'd love for you to just let us know a little bit more about yourself and your family and how you kind of came to this point in your spiritual journey.
Sure. Well, I can give you sort of the synopsis. I grew up in Minnesota and grew up as an average American Catholic boy, which in the suburbs, which meant that we went to church every week and went to feast days and confession maybe three times a year or something like that, prayed before meals. But we didn't really talk about the faith. And so by the time I was 18 years old, I really knew nothing about my faith at all. But I was hungry and I was searching and I was in the midst of the Beatles and the Bob Dylan era and Woodstock and all that. And I started searching for God and did it in Eastern religions and the Bhagavad Gita, the Tibetan Book of the Dead and so forth. And I remember one night going to our Catholic church and sitting up in the balcony, looking at this golden box called a tabernacle with a red light next to it. And I just cried out to God and said, "Whoever you are, reveal yourself to me." And it was shortly after that that I met my wife in college, and she was an evangelical Christian, and she told me all about her relationship with the Lord, and I responded to that, and at 18 years old, I gave my life to the Lord in a new way, and after that, went to Bible college, and after that, I started in radio, and I ended up leaving the Catholic Church, and I was gone for 15 years, 12 of which I was a Protestant pastor. And then I studied my way back into the Catholic Church in the mid-90s and ended up at Franciscan University as a student and teaching, and then EWTN with Life on the Rock and Mother Angelica's substitute. So that's kind of the quick story.
With so many twists and turns and so many highlights at every point of the way. I find it remarkable to hear the story and to be reacquainted with it because, you know, I think for so many of us who know you through, you know, various projects that you do, but now the Bible, I have to think that the font of knowledge that you kind of gained as an evangelical Christian, you know, went into where you are today in your spiritual journey, that it was, you know, perhaps laying the roots for some of what you do now. Do you think that's fair to say?
Well, I do think so. I wouldn't be the person that I am today, and I wouldn't teach the way I teach, and I wouldn't have the perspective that I have if I had not been a Protestant pastor in an independent church. And, you know, one of the things that really encouraged me along the way was that as I left the Catholic Church, I left in grand style. I screamed at a bishop publicly and told him I had had it with the Catholic Church and I'm out of here. And he met me the next day. He was a bishop up in Fargo years ago. He's since passed away. But he said to me the next day, he met with me privately, and he said, "Jeff," he said, "I got three things I want to tell you." He said, "Number one, the journey you're on is of God. And number two," he said, "I'm going to call you Little Newman." And I knew nothing about that. And he was saying, basically, "You remind me of Cardinal Newman, you know, your love for scripture." And number three, he said to me, "You mark my words, one day you're going to return. And when you do, you'll teach your own people, Catholics, you'll teach them." And I said, I don't know about that. I don't think that's going to happen. And I got up and shook his hand and I left. And that was how I ended up leaving the Catholic Church. So I always had in the back of my mind those words, "Someday you're going to return," but I didn't take them seriously. And then when I did end up returning, I returned with a lot of good things that I gained from my Protestant brothers and sisters, which I think have assisted me in being able to communicate the gospel. You know, in fact, I remember after 6 months of being at EWTN with Life on the Rock, Mother Angelica called me into her office, and typically that's not a real good thing. You know, that means there might be a problem. And she called me in there, and I said, "What can I do for you?" And she said, "Well, honey," she said, I want you to be my substitute when I'm gone.
Oh my!
Or if I'm not feeling well, do the show with me." And I was blown away. And I said, "Wow, I'd be honored to." And I said, but why me?" And here's what her answer was. She said, "Well, I'll tell you." She said, "I know you're thoroughly Catholic and you taught at Franciscan University, but you sound like a Protestant." And she said, "I like that."
Wow. And so, she was a very good judge.
sounding the way I sounded, I guess, was attractive. And, you know, that you communicate clearly a love for Jesus Christ, and it's not necessarily with a Catholic accent. So I jokingly tell people I'm bilingual. I can speak Catholic or Protestant without an accent. So.
Well, you know, we are here today to talk about the Great Adventure Bible, which remarkably is celebrating 15 years. You know, I right before I jumped on, watched a really lovely video over on ascensionpress.com. We'll be pointing you quite a lot to that during this interview. But it was kind of you remarking back to how you conceived of the Great Adventure Bible timeline and talking about, you know, spending 25 cents to go in and buy a big white piece of paper from the butcher and, you know, to chart this out. Could you ever have imagined 15 years ago, you know, where this project would be at this point? And I know that was even longer ago than that. So say a little bit about, you know, where this project came from and, you know, where it is now.
Sure. Well, you know, it started as a journey for myself, to be honest with you. I was a young pastor. I was in my first 2 years as a pastor. I was 25 to 26 years old. And that's a little scary because you have to preach on Sunday. And the type of church that I pastored was kind of like a Joel Osteen type of church. And they expect me to go for an hour, 45 minutes at least on Sunday preaching. And then on Wednesday I had to teach, and that was a minimum of an hour of teaching. And when you're that young, you don't have a lot of experience. And so you have a tendency to just try to tell the stories of the Bible. And I basically, after Bible school, I knew the Bible pretty well. In terms of individual stories, you know, you could say, "Let's talk about this book or this story or this character." And I would say, "Okay, we'll do that. I've got information I can share." But the problem that I ran into, Lisa, was that I could not string it all together. In other words, I could tell you the stories of the Bible, but the one thing I couldn't do, excuse me, is I couldn't tell you the story. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I couldn't tell you. I couldn't start in Genesis and go through the whole thing. And I felt that was a liability for me because I wanted to be able to start anywhere in the Bible. And I wanted to see the entire story. And there was an point of inspiration for me And that was a Christian singer by the name of Phil Keaggy. Phil Keaggy was one of the best guitar players in the world. He still is. And he would play on that fretboard on his guitar without looking at it. And he was like, he was one with that guitar. And I remember thinking, I want to be like, I want the Bible to be like that fretboard. I want to know that Bible, but I don't. I don't know it like a giant narrative. And I was sitting in the parking lot at the University of Minnesota at a place called Dinkytown. I know that sounds funny, but this neighborhood at the University of Minnesota is called Dinkytown. It's about four blocks, square blocks. And I was thinking to myself, how do I do this? And I was listening to a cassette tape at the time. Your listeners will have to Google what a cassette tape is. we used to listen to things that way. But I was listening to a cassette tape on the history of archaeology by a really, I would say, kind of a boring speaker, or, you know, a scholar. And while I found it kind of boring, I was fascinated that he could go from the ancient world to modern world and tell the whole story of archaeology. And I thought, how do I do that with the Bible? And Lisa, I'm telling you, it happened this quick. All of a sudden, I had in my imagination, my mind, a chart that I would divide up the whole Bible by periods of history, 12 of them, because there's 12 disciples and 12 tribes. And then I would show people which books they should read to keep the story moving, which there are 14. And then I'll fill in the chart, color-coded chart, 12 periods, with all the major characters and all the major events. And it's like I saw it very clearly in my mind. And the chart that's out there today, and the chart that is embedded in the Bible, the new Bible that we're going to talk about, that is about 95% of what I saw. And I got so excited. I thought, I can do this. I know I can do it. And I was supposed to be going to a Hebrew class that day, and I didn't go. I immediately put the car in reverse. I went to an arts and crafts store and got some markers and ruler, you know, and everything. And then I went to, as you said, a meat market. And it was about 50 cents, I think. I got the quarter or 50 cents, something like that. I got a giant piece of white paper. And then I went home to my mother-in-law's house. I dug up all my theology books and history books, and I set that piece of paper down, and I stayed up for 48 hours, and I created that chart.
Wow.
And I was so happy that I could see it. I could see the story. But I ended up getting it checked by scholars after that. But here's the funny thing. I didn't do it for anybody. I just did it for me because I wanted to be able to get a hold of it. And I wanted to be able to teach my children the story of salvation history. So that's kind of how it began. And it wasn't even until 10 years later, that I started really introducing to the public.
That's beautiful. And, you know, the guitar analogy really works for me. I have my second son plays traditional Scottish music in a band, and he's primarily the guitarist. And it's so interesting when he's home, because if he's in the house, then there is music playing, and he doesn't ever have a piece of paper in front of him. It's just something that comes out of him. It's so organic to who he is. And I think what you're talking about when you talk about a love for and a knowledge of the Bible in that sense is not, you know, necessarily that you can grasp at particular verses and quote them, you know, as we hear many people do. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. I'm saying that you can sense the totality of the story, and right. Knowing that is also a lifelong journey that we're on. And I'd say that for many people, myself included, that Bible study, and I'm looking back to where I was when you started the Great Adventure Bible Study 15 years ago. In our house, we were actually doing Bible study as a couple, but with non-Catholics, because there wasn't a lot available in the years preceding this. And so we ended up turning, you know, to other churches often for Bible study. And I think it's a kind of a tragic thing that's happened in some people's lives that they did that, and then they actually left the church maybe because of that. But For me, that falling in love with studying the Bible as an adult was something that was entirely new, even though I'd been raised in the faith the whole time. So now that we have the Great Adventure Bible Study, and you see this, it's being used really not just nationally but internationally, correct? And say a little bit about how, you know, before we jump into the Bible itself, how the study works in parishes or for individuals.
Sure. Well, the Great Adventure Bible Study, there's two available. One is an eight-part, each part is a half an hour, eight parts, that is called Unlocking the Mystery of the Bible, and it's done at an opera hall with, I think there's about 1,000 people there, and it's a big stage type of, let's go through the whole story. It's a big production. It's really, they did a great job with it. And the purpose of it is to really introduce people to Scripture. And the beautiful thing about it is that it's for everybody. If you've never even picked up a Bible before, I will show you in that seminar not only how it's put together, how to read it, but we'll go through it in eight one-half-hour sessions. So after that, you're pretty well equipped to start really going deep into Scripture and studying the books of the Bible and studying what the church has to say about it. And it's a lot of fun. You know, it's a lot of fun to go through it. And it I think it gives people peace, because most people think, well, I'll never be able to figure this out. And I promise them, oh, yes, you will. You'll figure it out. And I'm going to show you how to read the Bible, and we're going to go through it. So that's a beginning point, unlocking the mystery. The original one was a 24-week study. And the 24-week study is the same thing, but I not only teach you how to read it and the problems with reading it, the beginning and the introduction, but then I go into 23 lessons after that that take you from Genesis to Revelation, and we really go deep, you know. And there's a workbook accompanying both of them, both of the studies, whichever one you choose. And you can meet in small groups. And every week there's an assignment of what to read and questions to reflect on. And then if you're in a small group, questions to discuss when you get together. And it used to be, Lisa, there was only DVD. But now with technology, where we stream online at Ascension Press, and so one church can literally have 25 different studies at different times if they want to, and they can start and stop when they want to. But it's structured in such a way that people will engage the text, not just read it, but engage it and to think about it and to apply it to their own life, which is really the most important thing, is to be doers of the word and not just hearers of it. So those are the two major full Bible studies. And then we go into 24 weeks of Matthew, 20 weeks of Acts, and we have a lot of studies after that: Revelation, Galatians, Ephesians, Psalms, 1 Corinthians, Exodus, James, lots of different studies that churches can go into. So if a church starts with us, they're going to have quite a few years of studies that they can bring their people through.
And
a children's program too.
And I want to clarify that to start this study. So, for example, if you're somebody who's out there listening and you've been wishing for a Bible study at your parish and there isn't currently one, you don't have to be a Bible expert to be the person who starts this at your parish. Correct, Jeff?
No, not at all. In fact, you'd be a facilitator. You're somebody that's making it possible for people to engage the study. And there's no pressure on you to answer questions or to be an expert. You just have to be an enthusiastic follower of Christ and want to bring other people into that relationship with him.
I'm so very excited about the Great Adventure Bible, which has been sitting in the area that I pray in every morning for several months since it came out. Talk to us a little bit about what it was like to work on this particular project and why it's so special.
Sure. Well, the Bible you're talking about, we call the Great Adventure Bible, and it flows from the study. It's independent of the study, but it flows from it as well. It is unlike any other Bible out there, and I can give you a number of the features that really make it so unique. One of the biggest problems that people have is that they want to read the Bible. And if you ask people, do you want to read the Bible? Most people would say, yeah, I really would. That's not their problem. The want to is not the problem. The how to is actually the problem. And from the very beginning, people do not approach the Bible correctly. They have a tendency to think that it's a book. And most people say, well, it looks like a book, it smells like a book, it feels like a book. It must be a book. But it's not a book. It's a library, actually. It's a library of 73 books. And they're not all the same kind of books. There's different what we would call genres. There's history books. There's poetry. There's wisdom. There's prophets. There's epistles and gospels and apocalyptic literature like Daniel and Revelation. So the thing about it is that it's not in chronological order. It is organized by types of literature. So if you start at Genesis and you expect to read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and going on, and end up at Revelation and sit back with your cup of tea and say, man, was that a good story? You're just never going to do it.
You're going to peter out Leviticus if you're lucky.
Exactly. And if you start in January, that's going to be March for you. That's the curtain call. And you're going to stop because you don't know what's going on. And so the beautiful thing about the Great Adventure, now with the Great Adventure Bible, is that we show you how to read it in chronological order. So the chart that's color-coded in the Bible Timeline series, it's a beautiful two-sided chart, is now baked into this new Catholic Bible so that we're going to be with you as you read it in chronological order. Now, the text is not in chronological order. It's just like any other Bible that you've ever had, and I think that's good. But what we've done is showed you how to navigate through it, so you get the story in the 14 books, and then you know where the other 59 fit in. Plus, we have baked into it, we have the top characters and events of salvation history. We've got articles on how to do Lectio Divina, that's how to pray scripture so you can hear God on a daily basis for yourself. We have articles by great scholars on interpreting scripture. And speaking of the scholars, I mean, it just doesn't get better than this. We have Dr. Mary Healy. She's on the Pontifical Biblical Commission. Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk about a home run right there. That's really incredible. We got Dr. Peter Williamson from Sacred Heart in Detroit, and Dr. Andrew Swafford from Benedictine College in Atchison, Kansas. So we've got a great team. And the balance I like in the Bible, Lisa, is that it has wide margins. It's a Bible you can live in, but it's not cluttered with everybody else's thoughts. It's just enough to help you get going, stay on target, and beautiful maps and concordance. It's got a blue cover that is, I think, the best feeling Bible that I have
in my
library.
I was going to say, I love the cover. And that's
everybody does. They say a lot of people just want to hold it.
Yeah. And that's important because it's funny. We draw kind of a relationship with our Bibles. And I have a Bible that I was awarded as a little girl, that I've carried for years and years. It is something that was significant to me as a child. And this is not just a book. These are a gift that that we carry with us, and they become part of our daily journey with God and with Jesus. So you want it to be something that looks and feels good.
Yeah, it's a contact point for it really is a place for meeting Jesus and hearing God's word. And I love what the Catechism says in paragraph 236. It talks about two really important things to get to know about God. It talks about the theology and the economy of God, and those are kind of big words. Theology speaks about knowing the mystery of the Trinity, and which really is knowing the heart of your Heavenly Father, how important that is for us to know the heart of our Heavenly Father. And then the economy, that word oikonomia in Greek means our Father's household plan. In other words, He has a plan for your life. So in meeting with God in Scripture, you get to know His heart, but you get to know His plan. And the two of those really, really provide for you a foundation on which you can trust Him. in your life. The more you know his heart, the more you know his plan, the more you can trust him. And that's what we're hoping that people will get out of this, is not just, oh, now I know the Bible. No, I can trust him and I can live a life as a disciple of Christ in a powerful way. And to do that, you have to have that relationship with the Bible. And that's why I've always said, you know, a well-worn Bible says something about a person's relationship.
Well, it's I think something that we'll spend a lifetime coming to know as well. And that's why having something that you invest in can be very significant for this. Let's pivot for a moment and talk about these wonderful events that you're planning. I'm feeling very blessed that I'll be in attendance when you come to Christ Cathedral in Southern California. And you're also doing an event in Washington, D.C. at the Museum of the Bible. What are these single day events going to hold for those who will come out and attend them?
Sure. Well, thanks for bringing it up and allowing me to share with people. These one-day events are unlike anything that people have been through before, and we've heard that now for, oh boy, it's been now close to 20 years that I've been doing these one-day events. A little longer than that, actually, 22 years. And what we do is we meet for a full day. It's usually, like 8 to 4 or something like that. Around the country, and I do an introduction on how to read the Bible, the problems with reading the Bible, and encouraging people that you can do it. It's very similar to an introduction that we do on the Bible Timeline study. And then for the rest of the day, I will take you through the entire Bible using those 14 narrative books and introduce you to the story. It's lively, it's dynamic. It's funny at sometimes and a bit interactive, and at the end of the day, you're like, wow, I can't believe it. I just went through the whole Bible. But you go through the Bible in such a way that, that you feel equipped. I can do this now myself. And so everybody who participates is going to receive a workbook that they'll use throughout the seminar, the Bible Timeline chart. And in Orange County, you can sign up just for the seminar, or you can get the seminar and the Bible at quite a discount from what I understand. I'm not on that end of it, but they tell me that it's quite a discount. And so it's one day that you invest in your life to learn the greatest story ever told and to be introduced into the richest narrative and drama ever. And so it's really an investment for the rest of your life, which means eternity.
We'll have links in our show notes over to ascensionpress.com where you can purchase the tickets to be at these events. I think there's a possibility that one of them is actually already sold out.
You're talking about Washington?
Yes, yes.
Yes, yeah, one of them sold out in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then the Museum of the Bible called us and said, is it possible for you to do a second one on the next day? So we prayed about it and said, yep, we'll do it.
Oh,
so,
perfect.
We've got two now. There's two. And I think the second one is almost sold out as well. I think we're going to do the old Garth Brooks thing. We're just going to keep doing them as long as people come.
Ain't going down till the sun comes up. That's awesome. I'm biased because I'm just, of course, in Southern California, so tickled and excited about you coming to Christ Cathedral. Have you seen the new cathedral yet, Jeff?
You know, I have not, but when I was a Protestant pastor, I went there when Robert Schuller was there, mm-hmm. before the Catholic Church had received it. So I'm excited on a number of levels just to go there.
Yeah, it's really breathtaking. I feel so blessed to have it in such proximity to me. I live in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, but I grew up in the Diocese of Orange and remember Reverend Schuller at the drive-in not far from my home as a girl. Yes. And so when the diocese announced that they were purchasing the property, my mother and I immediately went for a visit before they closed the doors to begin the renovation to see it for one last time as it was. And I think that was actually just weeks before the renovation began. And when you visit the campus now, and it truly is a campus, it is a really amazing, you know, logistical body of buildings that are created to help the faithful worship. I'm just so excited that you will bring this event there, because they have everything that they need there to then begin actively, you know, leading studies at the diocese and at the cathedral. And it's really mm-hmm. remarkable what they've done with the inside of the building. I think I imagine you standing at the on the altar there at the Ambo, which is quite substantial. I think you're going to be really amazed by what you see when you enter the building.
Well, I'm excited, because it was years ago that I actually sat there as a Protestant watching Robert Schuller, and never would have dreamed in a million years that I would be back here and this would be a cathedral, you know, and that I would be teaching the Bible timeline for Catholics. So it's going to be fun for me.
And you're going to find an incredibly receptive and hungry audience for what you have to teach, because the faithful of the Diocese of Orange are diverse and so faithful and such beautiful people. So I think you're going to be really excited. I can't wait. So friends, definitely, you know, head over to ascensionpress.com. We'll have the links at lisahendy.com for you to go over and grab your tickets. And, you know, Jeff, is there a possibility that you'll do events like this in other large areas around the country?
Yeah, we're talking about it now, because we the response was just so powerful, and people so hungry, that we are in discussion now of doing several events around the country at major venues that are kind of bringing things to a new level as far as the size and the technology.
Yeah, it's really exciting. So definitely, I'm sure that the folks at Ascension Press would love to hear from you if you're somebody who would like to bring Jeff to your archdiocese and pack an arena like Garth Brooks for 7 nights. So,
yeah. Well, I've got friends in high places, and I'm hoping to see you there.
That's awesome. So, Jeff, as we let you get back to work, I'm just wondering if there are kind of any closing thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners about, you know, the significance of this project, or just about their own personal relationship with Jesus through the gift of Scripture.
Sure. Sure. Well, I would just encourage, you know, all of our friends listening that, number one, God loves you. And he does have an amazing plan for your life, and he's inviting you into a relationship that is not to have a personal relationship with theology, but a personal relationship with a person, Jesus Christ. And in order to really, really understand and to realize this great plan in your life, it will require you to spend good time with him. And that's the joy of the Bible, and that's the joy of prayer, is that the transformation that God wants to bring into your life possible, but it's in the context of a real, real relationship. You know, I've been married for 41 years now, and I know my wife really well, but the only reason I know her is because we spend an hour together every morning in prayer. We spent 41 years together, and that's what comes out of a relationship, and that's what Christ wants to invite you to be a part of with him, is a real love relationship. And Scripture is so important, so I pray that this event in Orange County will be a new beginning for many people.
Well, Jeff Cavins, thank you so much for the work that you do, for the example that you set, for how you accompany us as we each walk our own journey to Jesus. All the best for these and for whatever else is yet to come.
Well, thank you. And thanks for having me on. I look forward to seeing you.
I can't wait. Well, I know I'm going to be in a throng of people waiting to get your autograph and all that, get a selfie with you. So. But friends, definitely, you know, want to encourage you not to wait. If you're listening to this, please go over to our links and grab tickets now, and also take a look at all of the resources available. Jeff, thank you so much for the gift of your time. Have an awesome fall season, and can't wait to see what comes next from you.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. Well, that is it for this week's episode of Lisa Hendy and Friends. Want to thank our friends at Breadbox Media for making this podcast possible, and definitely want to invite you to share your feedback on the show. You can reach me anytime by email or on social media at Lisa Hendy, or come on over to the website, lisahendy.com, where we'll have links for you to catch up with Jeff Cavins, with the Great Adventure Bible, with this event, and all of the study resources. I hope you have an amazing week, and we'll see you next time. God bless.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.